I'm talking about at the buzzer right there, baby.
205, baby.
205 is the buzzer.
At the buzzer. Yeah, you can't. You get past 205, man, it stays with that D.
I think things have changed since the last time you got them rules, Ron.
Yeah.
Got to be a little closer than 5 from what I've been told.
I've been told 205 is the ending point. Supposed to be at the top
we're
of the
alley. You're going
to flirt with it, ain't you?
It's supposed to be from 55 to 05 is where it is. But whatever, whatever it is, first off, I just have to step in here on the, not only, Tyler, did that man say he enjoys the traffic.
Enjoys the hell out of it.
Then he said the next step is to roll the window down. While in said traffic in Houston, Texas. That's what
he said. It's not 100 degrees outside or anything.
There is a 75% chance you roll them windows down, you're going to get you a good, strong second wind of some of that Mary Jane, baby.
It's also
the damnest thing I've ever run. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I've lived in some places. I've traveled. I've been around it. I mean, I've been in clubs and bars with it. I like to think I've been around it quite a bit. Other than living in a house with it consistently, I've been around it quite a bit. There ain't nothing like rolling them windows down in traffic in H-Town and getting you a good whiff. It's the damnedest thing I've ever done, and I do it about twice a week.
Man, I ain't rolling my windows down for nothing.
You sissy.
As hot as it's hot. Yeah. Messing up that good air.
Come on, man. A little heat. Ain't you trying to get a sweat anyway? Drop a couple LBs, man.
It's hot as hell. By the way, shout out to the Astros as they are looking to take this series. They win last night when Tyler doesn't bet on them. And they are up right now 4-2.
Tyler bet on them today,
though. Hey, bro, they're winning again today and then put money in my pocket.
Tyler's back on that train today, Ron.
Yeah, it's just the third inning, so look out. But
doesn't change Altuve over 1.5 bases, mother effer.
Hey, he didn't need that, Ron. That's dirty. He didn't
doesn't
need that, man.
Change over 3.5 runs already hitting, sucker.
He is having he is absolutely on cloud 9 right now, and you just poked the damn balloon.
Don't
you ain't worth
the $350 in my pocket on a Wednesday afternoon. Hell.
Well, you're in the green yesterday. That's the question. Was you in the green?
Yes.
Damn right.
He told me I can bet today. If this score holds up, I can bet. Problem is, there ain't a game.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
We are so back.
As you said, he had a little cash on bases with Jose Altuve. Altuve hits a 3-run blast, and then Cam Smith just runs into an out at the plate with a chance to add to this lead. But it is 4-1 in the third inning. Well, I almost cussed right there, and I ain't got a dump button.
Did he get him? Wait a minute. Did he get him?
We'll see.
Did he touch the jersey? I think. Hey, let's earmuff this thing.
We'll take a look at it. I think he was out.
We got Dubon in an aggressive batting stance. Clearly, they ain't reviewing that one.
Yeah, they're not reviewing anything.
I mean, the ball hit hard at a third baseman playing in. We return to the bag, don't we?
I don't know, man. Who knows what Cam's doing, man? Gary Pettis is somewhere yelling it.
Pettis said, I'd have had you back.
I felt that windmill.
Gary Pettis said, you wouldn't even have been at third right now. I'd have sent your ass a long time ago.
You'd be home with the kids.
I'd have sent your ass a long time ago. But no, they lead 4-1 to go ahead and try to take this series. And Ryan Gusto is pitching pretty well. He's giving up one run, but pitching pretty well here as the Astros are looking to take this series and kind of get things going again before they head on the road coming up. But there's a lot going on with the Astros, and this is a day that Cheryl and Tyler and we're all hands on deck. We're going to be on it. I'm sure certain listeners will be helping out as well. But it's a big day. The trade deadline comes up tomorrow, and we're hearing all kinds of news. Hearing all kinds of news about the Astros and players that they may be connected to. We will get into all of that as we continue. But anytime we hear anything breaking, we will punch the gun in. I just made that phrase up, but we will punch the gun in
good.
to let you know what is happening if there is any news with the Astros adding players to their roster.
We're 27 hours in, boys. I mean, we are inside 27 hours from the trade deadline, 5 o'clock tomorrow. Ooh,
that's Altuve's number. That could mean something right now.
Well, I mean, you are really Altuve horny right now, but I don't blame you. Made you a few bucks.
It's picking up, too.
Come on, man.
It's picking up.
Baseball boner.
Yes. Yeah, it's picking up. We've heard some guys connected, pitchers with the Astros connected, said it's all but a done deal. So we'll let you know the latest there coming up. But day seven in camp ahead of an off day, as they are in pads. They've been in pads all week. And we talked about it a little bit during the crosstalk, Clint. If yesterday was appearing to be a step forward for the offense in playing better, looking better, getting more things done, it appears today was maybe back to the way it has been. Your assessment of what you saw today, training camp day seven.
Well, Ron, I'll say it several times today. Today was a great day for what I mentioned yesterday in terms of C.J. Stroud's reps. I thought he got several reps. He threw the deep ball today. I thought today was much, much better, so everybody relax a little bit on that front. Number two, on a less positive perspective here, the pass protection was absolutely awful. And for those out there that didn't like our conversation about Will Anderson needing to relax a little bit, back off a little bit, well, I think it's blatantly
ass crybabies.
Fair, very fair, Tyler. Thank you for saying that. I think it's very obvious that 55 and 51 are getting removed from practice so simply the offense can execute a little something and they have a chance. So,
oh, you were seeing that today. That they were taking them out.
No question. I mean, the reality of it is the offense, the protection, the offensive pass protection. Now, again, I don't know what's going on in the run game, but today was a pass-heavy day. C.J. Stroud had four reps in the first team period, 4 of 10, by the way, that's 40%. 4 of 10 in the second team period. That's 40%.
Be careful now here, Dirty. You're telling the folks what you saw with your eyeballs, how many reps was Stroud and everything. People are going to get upset. You got to be careful.
There's some sensitive folks out there that like to challenge me. But however, there was four reps in two different team settings. There were six passes called, and I would say, I'm being generous, there was three sacks, if not four sacks. Definitely pressures in those reps. And so it was a pass-heavy day. And I would say a not very good day for the pass protection. Even when they put, again, I keep talking about 52. He's coming now. He's jumping off the field. For me, he's jumping off the field. He even made some nice pass rushes against Ariante Ursary today that were a little suspect. So yeah, it was a rough day for the offense in terms of pass protection, no doubt. The interesting thing is you got a bunch of people watching practice. That would say, well, boy, oh, Dalton Schultz caught a good ball today and turned it up the sideline and outran C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which I don't know if he outran him, but was kind of a ha-ha-hee-hee right there on the sideline. Well, in reality, that was a sack 2 seconds before the ball was thrown. So it's
not 2 seconds.
Well, it's nice. I mean, it's great. I get it. It's fun, but you got some folks that are taking shots out there that at the end of the day, I mean – it was a sack. You can keep the play rolling if you want to for feel-good reasons, but the reality was the pass protection was rough today, brother.
That have been another quarterback hit. And, yeah, okay, it's just day three of camp.
Is that what we're doing now? It's just day three of pads? It's the seventh practice. It's the third day of pads.
You're trying to get clicks with this, man.
Yeah. By the way, Davis Mills threw two picks as well today in his eight reps. So it was a rough go for the offense.
I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, said Graham Mertz is playing well, but too bad. There's no chance that he could compete to take the job of Davis Mills, who is locked in as the backup quarterback. So
yeah, Davis Mills has been really good up to date, yeah. But today was a rough day for Davis Mills. I mean, he threw two interceptions in eight reps. C.J. Stroud got sacked at least three times, if not four, in eight reps. So, I mean, it was a rough go for the offense there to start out. And then once they got to moving the football a little bit, they had a team three session and a team four session where one of those was a two-minute drill. It got a tad bit better, but it was still a rough day for the offense. There's no doubt about it, Ron. What we talked about the first week of camp in a sense of, this is an offense that's in the infancy stages of installing the terminology and the scheme and everything, and this is a defense that's championship caliber defense. That is a major problem for the Texans, right?
Well, I mean, Jarrett Verse is going to be a major problem for him,
no
though.
No question.
Week one. I mean, that D-line from the Rams is one of the best D-lines in football. So, I mean, this is going to be something they're going to have to deal with.
Agree, Ron, wholeheartedly. That is why these guys get paid the money they get paid, right, is exactly what you just said. Is how does D'Amico manage that dynamic during training camp? And then how does Nick Caley handle it when rubber meets the road and you've got to play these guys? Because I think two of the first three games, you got a pretty serious defensive front coming at you. So, you know, how do you handle it? I think is definitely something to look out for. But right now, when you look at it, it's we've got to get this offense installed, and it looks like D'Amico is leaning towards calling the dogs off a little bit.
Now, as someone texted in, is our defense just that good or our offense just that bad? Listen, I think the defense is really, really good, and I think that's what Clint is saying. The combination is a thing that is maybe set up for this, but at some point it does need to even out. But I will say that defense, from videos and things we watch, they look really confident, and I would say I think they would do this to a lot of offenses right now. I think they would probably make a lot of offenses today look bad.
Yeah, look,
their defense.
Ron,
I do want to say that.
No question, this defense is really, really good. That is the part of the Houston Texans that I don't think we have any – there's no debating. Like, the Texans' defense is really good at all three levels. The secondary is absolutely eating. They're really good at the number one corner, number two corner spot. They're really good at the nickel defender spot. They're really good at their top two safety spots. In fact, Kalen Bullock has been the brightest player in this camp. The pass rush is absolutely ridiculous. They can play off of each other. They can be multiple. This defense is absolutely ridiculous, no question about it. But as we have these conversations, for all, I mean, like get your feelings out of this and just have a conversation about what the Texans are doing in training camp. The dynamic is you're trying to install an offense and you've got a championship caliber defense. That is a bad combination, right? Because you got to call the dogs off. Like, at any point in time, if D'Amico Ryans wants to boost the confidence of his defense, he unleashes them dogs and they eat. There's no question about it. Offensively, you can't go into every single day of training camp and go, how can we get D'Amico? I mean, how can we get Nico Collins the football, right? How can we get Christian Kirk matched up in the slot against a defender? That's not how you install an offense, right? So
yeah,
that's the difference. Is you got a defense, at any point in time, if they need confidence, we can turn this thing up a notch and we can eat, and it gets ugly real quick. Offensively, you're methodically trying to install something. You're not trying to get your playmakers the football, right? I mean, that's the difference, and that's the dynamic that they've got to juggle throughout training camp.
No. Yeah, and they're juggling it, but as we said, it's day three, and yes, it is early for some. And some of you have expressed I know, Clint, you said about 2 weeks is when your concern levels would change. And so it is still early for those who feel that way. Very, very fair to think that. You just hope that it does even out, and they don't have to, as Clint says, it feels like, have to turn to secondary guys out there to try to make them have the ability to try to run something and see some success.
Ronald!
Or to call the dogs off.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We are up against it, though. If you do not, my friend, figure out this mic situation.
What happened?
I'm going to curse.
What is the mic situation?
Oh, well, I think you just get good and worked up.
Yeah,
you're just into it, man.
It.
I love it.
But we got to figure this out because my eardrums are bleeding.
Well, I don't even know what the hell just happened. But
it's been happening every segment since yesterday.
All right.
I mean, he just said he needs to address this live on air.
Wait, you really don't know? What?
I really have no idea. No one said anything. I have not said anything.
That makes me at least feel better.
I don't even know. I don't even know what I was saying.
I guess I should have said it. That's on me.
Coming up next.
Coming up next, the Astros have a lot going on currently. We'll give you an update on the game, but have a lot going on when it comes to potential trades. We'll let you know the latest on that. as we continue right here on The Drive.
Really, really happy.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Altuve skies one to left. All the way back is Wood. He is looking up. He's watching a three-run home run. 4-1 Astros. Altuve, number 18 on the year.
And that is the big blow in this game thus far. And that is one of two hits for Jose Altuve. So if you put money on total bases for Jose Altuve at 1.5, you got paid, as he has a three-run homer to go along with another hit. Three RBIs already. And guess what, fellas? Slides into the leadoff spot.
Hey,
slides into the leadoff spot today.
That stro go.
As Joe flipped a coin and had Yiner Diaz hitting second.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Yiner Diaz, who can't get in front of Jacob Melton when he comes back in the lineup. But hell, why not? Day game, let's move him up to the two spot. But it's working. He's got a hit too, as the Astros, are leading 4-1 over the Nationals, looking to take this series.
Could it be two in a row?
It could be, man. They need it. They need it. They need it. And not only that, that's just some of the news here. As we'll keep you updated on what's going on out there at the Dyke and Park. But the Astros are potentially in some serious trade discussions from things that we're hearing. We already heard the Dylan Cease news yesterday that he is a, quote, priority or a primary target for the Astros. That coming from former general manager Jim Bowden. But he also today then said, fellas, Dylan Cease to the Astros will probably happen. Will probably happen, as it was reported that Dana Brown was looking for a bat, specifically left-handed hitter, as well as a level three starter, a third starter, very similar to Kikuchi last year.
Who?
And Kikuchi. You say Kikuchi.
Kikuchi control.
You say Kikuchi, I say Kikuchi. Yeah.
Well, this time it may be Cease saying Kikuchi, because it could be Dylan Cease coming to the Astros. And according to Jim Bowden, that will happen. But that's one piece of it. The other piece is, apparently, according to our guy, he had it first, Hotel Bobby. 2 Chainz Bobby Nightingale said that the Houston Astros are mulling over a reunion with Carlos Correa.
Yeah. How about that, huh? That's what I'm talking about.
How about that? comments. I think we are clearly seeing, potentially, fellas, there is something serious with the Paredes injury that they're in discussion with. Not only Carlos Correa, they've been linked to Nolan Arenado, Suarez, who has been the top pick, trade candidate from Arizona. Those are all third basemen, potential third basemen. Now Carlos Correa is a shortstop, word is Carlos Correa would be open to waiving his no-trade clause for the Astros. It's the only team that he would be open to doing so, with the understanding that Jeremy Peña is the shortstop and he would move to third base.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
Yeah, I like that, Tyler. Turn me on a bit, Tyler.
What's the feel about Correa coming back and being the third baseman here?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know about outside this studio right here, but me and Tyler are—I think we're on the same page here. Absolutely love it. It would be absolute, especially go to third base. You got that gun at third base, that defense at third base. You add a bat that is the meat of this lineup, a guy that we know brings a level of leadership and a standard to his game, much less the game with the Astros. I absolutely love bringing the thought of bringing Los back to this squad, especially given that if it does happen, Minnesota's going to have to bite off a huge chunk of that contract that they doled out a couple years back. So you get him at a discounted rate. I don't know if it's going to come at the Verlander discount that we got a couple of years ago, which I don't know how much of a discount it was after he messed the bed a bit. But there's going to be some level of discount there for Correa. So, yeah, I'm all about it, man. I am all about it.
Two words for you, Ron, about these rumors, about a possible Los Correa return to the Houston Astros over there, Daikin. Baseball boner. Full-fledged.
I'm sure it is.
Six to noon.
That's my thing, and that's the only other part to it. They obviously need help, and while you have that boner doing whatever it's doing, they obviously need help. And clearly, fellas, the Paredes thing is more serious to where that you don't go and look at the and make a move like this potentially, and expect to have who is supposed to be your current and future third baseman, who was an all-star, to be ready to come back. So it's serious there. But Cheryl or Tyler, if you could, back to what Clint said, what is left on his contract? And how many years of control would the Astros have? Because you have Pena, who you're trying to get an extension with, but you do have him long term, and you have Paredes, who you have long term, and it's like you throw him in the mix. Where does he play?
There's three and a half. Ron, there's 3.5 years left on the contract. There's big monies left on the contract. If you look at Spotrac or Spotrac, however you couch it, push into years beyond 2028. And so I don't know exactly what that's kept, but the point here is Minnesota would have to bite off a huge chunk of that. So you're going to get the player at a discounted rate, I would think, at a significantly discounted rate, I would think. And then you look at it in a sense of, remember the conversations that we were having about if Alex Bregman were to come back and where that would leave Isak Paredes and what he could play second base, and you know that whole deal. Well, look, I look up, and if you go Christian Walker at first, Paredes at second, assuming he gets healthy, best case scenario, Pena at short, Correa at third, you've got a nasty infield right there, assuming Paredes can play second and that wasn't just Bregman reaction going on right there. So I love it, man. Hell, I love it for now. I love it long term. I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's the part, the long-term thing is that way, because Paredes was playing a gold glove caliber third
base.
No
question.
And I don't know what he looks like there. And the whole reason to move Altuve out of second base was because defensively you didn't have a good spot at second base. And you had Bryce Matthews, who's your number one prospect, who plays second base, that you've brought up. And that is that the future? Or is like... So to me, it's an interesting thought that you have, as you said, 3 years of control. Now, they need help, and maybe you just figure out what the hell happens after that. I don't know. Maybe Paredes can play in the outfield. I don't know. But maybe you figure out what happens after that, maybe down the line. But as of now, they could use him, even though he's not having a great year. Someone said he's not even been that good. His slash line, Correa, that is, 265, 317 on base, 384, 7 homers, 31 RBIs. But we all know that he has that weird knack of when the games matter that he takes his game way up.
Let's be honest. We're looking at Zach Short. We're looking at what's the other fellow's name that made three errors at third base last year?
Shea.
We just can't. Well, Shea, what's his last name?
Whitcomb. I believe it was four.
Right.
The nightmare at third continues for Shea.
I mean, let's be honest to what we're looking at here, y'all. Half of our lineup for a good chunk, if not more of the season, has been guys that have been in Sugar Land or Corpus Christi level players. And so, I mean, I don't, no disrespect to those guys, but we're talking about Carlos Correa here. I mean, you're talking about adding a difference maker to the lineup. You're talking about adding an elite defensive player in Major League Baseball. You're talking about adding a leader to the clubhouse that's familiar, that's been here before with every aspect of the organization. Like, I mean, I'm not too worried about a slash line at this point in time. I'm all right with that.
You heard that. You heard the slash line. You remember him in his time here in Houston. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Are you in favor and a fan of Carlos Correa returning, them doing what they would have to do, prospects giving up to bring Carlos Correa with three more years remaining on his deal. Are you in favor of that, yes or no? We'll look at some of your responses on the other side. And I know Clint won't love this. Something that I saw said on the practice field today for the Texans, and it is something that the other side of the ball needs to find, and I don't know if they found it yet. We'll discuss that next.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to chill.
Welcome home.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Astros, at the end of five, continue to lead 4-1 at home against the Nationals. Ryan Gusto, five innings, three hits, one earned run, three Ks, one walk. So he is pitching pretty well. We'll see if he comes back out. He's at 86 pitches already. So good start right now for Ryan Gusto, exactly what they need out of him. And if you missed it, the big blow in this game from the Hall of Famer to be Jose Altuve.
Really happy.
He was. It's a three-run bomb as they lead 4-1 there. We'll keep you abreast, updated, and all of those other things as this thing continues. I said it on the other side, and I see some people texting in on YouTube and Twitch. Would you be in favor of everything that it would take to get Carlos Correa and everything when you get him back and all of that? Would you be in favor of him coming back in the Astros trading for him? And some of the text line, could Carlos Correa play second, but just get him and figure it out later?
What?
Maybe you trade Pena down the line if he wants too much money for the Stros. All right, that's aggressive.
Don't put Correa's cannon at second.
Correa is very clutch, gold glove, strong arm. Hit 270. I'll take it in a heartbeat. Someone else text in. I do like this. Could you imagine the spark in the clubhouse he would bring if he arrived? Oh, so
that story would light a fire in this city, man.
Also, Champ Slice on YouTube and Twitch. As fun as it would be to see Correa back, I think I would rather pass. Dude is locked in for 3 years. I'd rather take that money and pay Fromber. To be honest, take that money and pay Fromber, Hunter, Pena. Not Correa. I think to that part, Champ, that's where Clint is saying that he believes if they were to make a deal like that, that the Twins would have to come up with some of that, would have to do something to help.
Yeah, look, everything I've read, you're talking about the Twins picking up a big chunk of it. And so if you can get this level player at a discounted rate and a player that, by the way, you are extremely familiar with, where, look, if at any point in time, If Joe Espada says, no, thank you, I don't want any because of this, or that, then I totally understand. But my understanding is Carlos Correa would be welcomed with open arms in a big, big way.
Absolutely.
To add a little context to what you just said, Callis and Blum both in the booth with Dana Brown 2 games ago literally said – and asked him the question, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but asked him the question of, you know, the moves that could be made being a shot in the arm and motivating his team. And he said, absolutely, it would be huge. And that was without Carlos Correa even being mentioned. Now, maybe they knew behind the scenes that Carlos Correa was being discussed, but this is precisely, to me, what they were referring to, is that this is a move that not only is bringing in a really good bat and a really good defensive player, but a guy that moves the needle in the clubhouse as well, for what it's worth. There's a lot of change in Houston, and Jose Altuve is not it can't be the only guy carrying the torch of this chemistry, this amazing clubhouse, and this standard that's set in Houston. I mean, maybe he can, maybe he can't, but it would never hurt to bring in a Carlos Correa that knows what it's all about and could help that as well.
Yeah, someone texted in, they miss his leadership as well, Ray. Tyler with a good nugget in my ear. To keep an eye on, the Twins did not have him in the lineup today. So that is a good sign.
Well, Miller was just on the phone in the dugout too, up here in the game, so he may have been talking to Carlos Correa's agent.
Yeah, might be. hey man, when you come out though, like when you come out and make it clear, yo, I will put my no trade clause down. Like when you make that clear to the place that you want to go to, you know, it
feels
some,
huge.
Some stuff is shaking. So
I'll waive a no trade clause to go back to Houston. It's the grass ain't always the grass ain't always greener. Not that Correa wasn't forced into that, but he got his opportunity to make big bucks. He made big bucks. It hadn't worked out the way that he was. Come back on home and let's see if we can't make another run for 2 or 3 years here, Los. That gets me good and stoked up. Baby. You kidding me?
That would be some juice and to figure things out later. All right, Clint.
By the way, Ron, real quick, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, this whole Dylan Cease to the Astros thing will probably happen, by the way. We've kind of overshadowed because of Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's big, bro. That's not just hey, he's on the radar. I mean, you got folks out there that are talking about, well, it'll probably happen. That's big as well.
Listen, the medical staff for the Texans, or I mean for the Astros, as you would say, leave a lot to be desired. But the pitching staff and what they're able to do to get the best out of pitchers, that is very, very real. And yes, Dylan Cease's numbers, as we said yesterday, are not great, but very similar to Yusei Kikuchi.
Who?
Yusei Kikuchi. Once he got here, it was a complete turnaround, and hell, he got paid in the offseason for it. And it was a thought of, man, you know, do the Astros really need to bring him back? So you can see that this pitching staff, the staff has a clear track record to improve guys once they get their hands on them. So that's the other part with Dylan Cease. When you look at his numbers right now, it look like what you would want to bring in. But you put him here with these guys, they seem to get the best out of guys. I mean, good Lord, what they're doing with Ryan Gusto and Colton Gordon and some of these guys, it just kind
of
shows.
Well, they either get the best out of them or they break them smooth down, one of the two. So yeah. Either way it goes, I'll roll the dice.
Or there's Blair Hindley. But
I don't think the Blair Pitch Project.
Is Dylan Cease a local guy? Can his grandma sit in the stands? Is he too much of a veteran for grandma to be sitting in the stands randomly? It's only if he's a local guy.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's local. He's got a hell of a stash, though. Hopefully we get a chance to see it. But listen, man, this was out at camp and reported, Clint, and I just want to know, did anybody else respond to this? Because it just feels like they have a lot of this on one side of the ball, but not much of this on the other side. And when you hear D'Amico talking about we want to be physical and all of this stuff, you really feel it from that defensive side of the ball. But the other side, you wonder. Today, this coming from DJ Bieniemy, today the Texans defense is dominating the Texans offense. After cornerback Tremon Smith broke up a pass from Davis Mills downfield, Clint, C.J. Gardner-Johnson shouted, "We own a ass," and said, "It's belt to ass," while swinging an imaginary belt while pointing to a Texans camera.
Wow, dude.
And I'm just wondering, did anybody on the offensive side, now I know you get your ass kicked, but still, did anybody on the offensive side buck up to that? Or did they just walk around there and just accept
it? Not a damn soul. I watched C.J. Gardner. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he busted Talk up, actually didn't bust it up. Brevin Jordan caught it, and he hit him up under the chin and pushed him out of bounds and did his little belt to ass dance. And Jordan got up and tapped him on the helmet.
Talk crap.
And then at one point, Ron, I see a pass breakup down the opposite sideline in front of all the stands, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock are both belt-to-ass dancing on them at the same time, and they just kind of eased on. Actually, it was Dalton Schultz kind of just eased on back to the huddle. So, there's not a lot going on the offensive side of the football that puts him in a position to buck back at all, to be honest with you.
I understand that, but there are, I think as you've talked about, there's a clear separation of, I don't care what you want to call it. Some people call it dog. Some people call it aggressiveness. Some people call it just whatever. But even if you are getting your ass kicked, I just know, and you know, there are some offensive teams or some defensive teams in football that enough's enough on the belt to ass stuff. Enough's enough. Like, we're going to push. We're going to do something. Like, we gonna, like, something's going to happen. We're not just going to sit here and tap people on the helmets. And just, even if you are kicking our asses, you ain't going to be up here belt to ass dancing. Like, I just.
Oh, Ron, look, a week into this thing, like, today is the day for me. And again, for everybody out there that likes to get real sensitive, I've seen all but one practice, which I think it's 6 of 7 practices over 8 days, I think is where we're at right now. This is the first day. There's been a little jawing. There's been a little dancing. There's been a little smack talking. This is the first day. C.J. Gardner-Johnson 2 or 3 times was belt-to-ass dancing, like well after the play. And I got to believe that at some point, within a week, if things don't kind of change and the offense start getting the betterment of the defense, I got to believe that there's going to be a little buck back, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson may cause a little bit of a stir in practice, which I would love to see, if I'm being honest.
Because, Clint, maybe I'm wrong here, but I just believe, let's say the offense is having a day. Let's say they come in Friday and they're having a day. And Nico and Christian Kirk start doing belt-to-ass dancing on it. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the rest of them boys back there, Kamari Laster ain't going to be tapping them on the helmet and high-fiving them. Like, even if they get an ass beat, they're going to do something. I would imagine they're just not going to sit there and just accept, like, all right, man, you getting me, but you ain't going to embarrass me out here.
Who's he going to be? And that's the question, right, is Dalton Schultz is not one to buck back. I don't think Nico is one to necessarily buck back. I think Cade Stover may get ate up. He may get fed up with it a little bit and buck back.
Brevin
Jordan got up and tapped a helmet today, so I don't know how much of that he's got in him. This is where we get to, Ron, again. This is where we get to that friendly brother, stroke everybody, everything's positive approach. Look, defensively, you get to, within the game and within the rules, you get to be physical, dominate, and embarrass folks. Like, offensively, you got to take a little bit of the brunt from time to time, right? You got to receive a little bit. Every now and then, you're going to have to initiate the blowback.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that on this offense?
I was going to say.
Who's going to do it?
I'm just saying, let Darren Woodson just keep going belt to asses over there, and let's see how long Emmett just keeps rolling over there.
Let's see
how long Larry Allen sits over there and just, rest in peace, just sits in there and, all right, man, I want to have belt to asses and high-five you. Or here, Andre Johnson, just he would at some point have lost it.
Andre right? Johnson, Wade Smith. I mean, all these cats at some point are going to be like, hey, man, enough's enough. That's a good point, man. You make a great point in a sense of just big picture looking at this training camp and given the dynamic. I'm not saying that one group is behind schedule and is better than the – forget all that. Like, just the dynamic that is the Houston Texans practice, Ron, at some point somebody on the offensive side of the football has to get so frustrated they throw a punch.
Well, it's been a clear separation. We've been talking about that. And I do think Joe Mixon probably, if he was out there, wouldn't have just sat there and just someone on the on YouTube and Twitch, shout out to you, Champs Lights. Joe Mixon might have lost his mind a little bit, but that you've been talking about it. We've talked about it. Like, there are dogs on this team, however you want to put it, that are about it. But there is a clear separation or where most of those guys are, if not all of them.
They reside on the defensive side of the football, is what you're saying.
Yes, it seems like that.
Fair. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, it seems like that. All right, coming up, we'll keep you updated on what the Astros are doing as they try to win this series with the Nationals. And C.J. Stroud. Clint, our quarterback's been watching C.J. Stroud. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from him today, a little evaluation on 7. That's coming up next.